Welcome back to the Brainstorming Basketball Podcast. I am joined by two dejected people today. The Bears are the only winners in here. That's Harry Liao, the resident Seahawks. I'm not going to call you a bandwagon. You're a loyal fan. And Yosef Nasser, the Jalen Hurts truther. How are we feeling, fellas?
I thought this podcast was called Brainstorming Basketball, not Morning Football.
Dude, I thought you were out on football. What happened?
The thing is that, guys, we are 18 months into this pandemic. I've watched every other sport imaginable. I have tried to pick up, like, drawing, painting. It's just it's not in the cards, man. I got to watch the freaking NFL. This is ridiculous at this point.
Wait, what's the weirdest sport that you've watched during the pandemic?
It's not weird, but I was, like, having a cricket phase in my pandemic.
Solid. Who's any good, any stars? Like, who's the LeBron of cricket?
I couldn't tell you. It was a bad.
You don't speak Hindi?
No, I do not, but that should be a new hobby that I try to pick
up.
Dude,
I was watching some Olympic trial rock climbing for like 5 days. Excellent.
I forgot about the Olympics too. There was probably some weird stuff in there. Listen though, we got to get to the Seahawks first, because that was one of the most, you know, I want to say classic, you know, they're up big.
No, it's absolutely a classic Seahawks loss. Like, this is like the cardinal sin of Pete Carroll's career. He only plays to protect leads. Like, that's – like, what are we doing? Dude, the Seahawks should have been up by 30. Like, Russ, the deep ball was there. Tyler Lockett was unstoppable. The defense played all right. I mean, the secondary gave up some big plays, but Bobby Wagner was, like, out of his mind. Like, freaking put the league on notice again. Like, yo, I'm still here. It's just atrocious, atrocious fucking classic Seahawks loss. There was a penalty every single time they needed to just – the defense needed to just get off the field. Oh, my God.
It was 30-16 at one point, too, which is
– in the fourth quarter, yeah. Man.
Ridiculous. Yos, what do you think about Harry Seahawks?
I think that Derrick Henry put them in the torture chamber, and I don't think Ryan Tannehill is as good as he's been the past 2 years. The loss of Arthur Smith looming large.
What do we think about Julio? I think
he looked good. I think he looked good today.
He looked good, but I don't know. He's not. I mean, he's obviously not Julio when he wasn't. Was he now like 32? Like, he's, yeah. I feel like the speed to me, like the speed and the quickness are not like what I remember from like peak Julio on the Falcons, but the size and like the strength and like just his ability to jump up and grab shit is still
fuck it out of the air.
Yeah.
AJ Brown's the guy who's kind of been.
Did you see what he tweeted?
What did he tweet?
After the game, so AJ like three times had drops. Some of them were hard, but a couple of them were like layups. And he tweeted after the game, he said his family texted him that he couldn't catch COVID if he tried.
Yeah. Probably couldn't. But he's a guy who's like thought to be a big breakout player this year. And I still think that he's going to have a monster week, you know, sometime coming soon, because he's just that kind of talent. But, you know, he recovered from a double knee surgery over the offseason. I think he's a little bit rusty. He hasn't been practicing. But hopefully, you know, people were talking about last week, Julio playing below expectations. AJ Brown, you know, kind of the same thing. I like both players.
Yeah.
Right before we started this podcast, Harry kind of we're going to throw him under the bus a little bit, because he was saying how he wished he picked the Arizona Cardinals.
I didn't say that. Yosef is making that up.
Okay.
What the fuck?
Yosef made that up. But this is a good time to talk about Kyler Murray, because he was balling out.
Yeah, he's crazy.
So they dominated Tennessee week one, and then this week – they should have lost to the Vikings if the Vikings kicker makes that field goal at the end. How do we feel about Arizona and Kyler Murray? Yos, how do you feel about them?
I mean, he's having an electrifying season, and they have a lot of weapons. This Rondale Moore kid, this guy is like Percy Harvin mixed with Golden Tate back in their primes. Like, this kid is electric. You get the ball in his hands, he can make you miss. It's like 5'9". He might be smaller than 5'9". I think he might be like 5'7", 5'8". But he's like one of these guys who squats, power cleans like 600, 700 pounds. can jump out of the gym and then, you know, just get the ball in his hands. He's electric. DeAndre Hopkins had a solid game. The defense, though, after what they did last week to go in this week, what they did last week to the Titans to go in this week and give up all those points to the Vikings, I mean, right away, Cousins hit he hit Osborne for a long touchdown. Like, I don't know. The defensive inconsistency concerns me, but, I mean, Kyler's electric. Him and Tom Brady are the two front runners for MVP for me.
Dude, that division's kind of nuts.
I think both West divisions in each conference can, like, I think they could go like 8-for-8. It's in play, right? I mean, Buckets, you like the Raiders?
Yeah, there's going to be some crazy tiebreakers at the end of the season, I guarantee.
Chargers, Chiefs, it's going to be wild.
I don't like Matthew Stafford, for the record. Not as a person, just like I think that it's going to he's going to have a big choke moment later in the season.
Wait, what?
I think he's been good.
He's been great. He's been great. I just like the celebration.
What don't you like about him?
The untimely mistakes. And it hasn't happened yet, obviously. But down the road of the playoffs, the Rams, it's going to be interesting. Because all these teams still, to me, all look like the preseason is such a joke now that this is really like a very abrupt like start to the regular season. There's been a lot of like just careless mistakes, like we saw at the end of the Chiefs game there, and it's been sloppy football. And I think that benefits Sean McVay and good coaches like in the second half of the season. If the Rams look this good now, maybe I don't know something.
So you think they're gonna taper off, is what you're saying?
Not taper off, but like choke at some point.
Dude, that defense though. I mean. Oh my God! Like
there was a play today where one of their I don't know his name, but he got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and Aaron Donald went helmet to helmet with him.
Oh, I do. Sebastian Joseph Day, I think was his
that
name.
That is so freaky, dude. Yost, dude. This is an intervention.
I watched the game.
That's so insane that you can just pull three name guy out of your ass. That's so
I could be wrong.
I don't think you are.
But speaking of sloppy penalties, I mean, the Eagles were that, like, in a nutshell. Did you see this? Buckets, did you see this?
I was, like, back and forth between Red Zone and Bears. So I was, like,
I was the same thing with the Eagles. The 49ers, they're running back Hasty, fumbles, the Eagles recover it, and then we got an unnecessary roughness call. And then, like, the very next play – they bench Hasty because he fumbled. They put in Trey Sermon, who breaks off a 10-yard run. He fumbles, but it's like, you know, we get another 15-yard unnecessary roughness. Yeah. So basically, we should have had two turnovers, and we gave him back. Like, what the heck is that? That cost us the game.
I love football.
Did you see when we drove down, we had the long play, you know, the big trust from Coach Nick for Jalen to launch that like within the five in their own 5-yard line. He launched a big play, 91 yards to Quez Watkins, then we couldn't even punch it in. We did the Philly special.
And
Greg Ward threw it out of bounds. I thought he could have tucked and run and tried to make a man miss. He's throwing it out of bounds, Buckets. Like
that was.
Frustrating. The play before that, Jalen had the ball in kind of a rollout, and I think he could have ran it in. Instead, he threw it over the head of his receiver. It's so frustrating, Buckets. Like, we should have won that game. It was a winnable game, and now we're 1-1, tied with the Cowboys and the Washington football team atop the East when it should have been ours.
PWF, let's go.
Oh, God. Speaking of which, don't mean to sound the alarm bells, but Dallas looked – solid today. I mean, that was a big time win for them with, you know, Mike McCarthy with the questionable coaching down the stretch to settle for a 56-yard game-winning field goal. They could have gotten a lot closer. But, Yost, how do you feel about the Cowboys right now? Are they, like, I know we dislike them as a team, but are they a legitimate NFC threat going forward?
I think offensively, yes. Defensively, I'm less certain, I'd say. I mean, even though the results looked okay in this game, keeping, you know, Herbert and the Chargers, you know, to the score that they did. I mean, we just saw against the, I don't feel like they have very much of a pass rush. You know, their secondary can be had, as we saw against the Bucs. I think they're a middle of the pack team, and I think their path to getting the playoffs would have to be to win the NFC East, which they could, but like, I don't see them as a wild card contender. Their offense, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is explosive. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott looks like, I think you've been on this for like 2 or 3 years, Buckets, where you think that Zeke's, you know, a little bit overrated or whatever. Tony Pollard looks electric. Cooper was quiet today. But Dak is playing at such a high level. I don't know. I think it's one of those, like, I think 9, maybe 10 win teams. But I don't see them in the top echelon of the – or in the NFC.
That's – listen, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Dak is the difference maker for me, because something about his, like, leadership, it's always been there. But it's just, like, it seems a little bit heightened now, the way he's kind of, like, with the team morale on the sidelines when it looked like the Chargers were about to have that go-ahead touchdown. He wasn't fazed at all, and that's coming from your leader. That's the most important thing in football, which is why we have to be excited about Justin Fields, right, boys? I mean, let's go.
I actually am excited. I was watching – that was a game I didn't get to see much of between the Eagles and Red Zone. I saw, you know, one of the one of the Burrow interceptions. I saw Robinson. But that was a game I didn't get to see much of. I was actually watching Justin Fields highlights, the ones they put on NFL.com before we got here. I mean, he had some scattershot throws, but I mean, if he's going to run a lot, he's going to be pretty interesting.
I'm going to be honest with you. He didn't look that great to me. I mean, it's game one, right? It's nothing to be alarmed
about.
It's
game one. So you'd rather watch Dalton? We're not going anywhere anyway. Let this guy develop. Like, you know, we're in the instant gratification era. Like, this guy in his first starts getting slaughtered. It's like he looked terrible. I think he's, you know, he's fine. Like, let's find out if he's terrible, Buckets.
Yeah, I was just like on cloud nine when I saw. I just was assuming touchdown pass, touchdown pass, touchdown, and then I'm like, oh, sack, oh, pick six. But, you know, like you said, develop. I agree, completely agree. Let's not Mitch this kid, guys. Let's not Mitch him. That's not us.
We're verbing him now.
What do you think, Harry?
About Fields?
Yeah, about Fields and the.
I didn't watch this game, but are we gonna skip over like any Justin Herbert conversation from the Cowboys game? I mean, we're supposed to be talking about this guy is like someone who's gonna enter that upper echelon soon, right? Like, how did he? I didn't watch that game either. I was at work. How did he look?
Incredible. He's a joy to watch. This is gonna be a question that I pose to all three of us. Is in terms of like entertainment value of a quarterback, he's on that. Like top tier.
Herbert. So who else is on that list for you? Because I think Lamar and Kyler, I get maybe the inconsistencies with Lamar, but I mean, we saw it tonight, and then Mahomes, of course. Mahomes, and I'd say Brady rounds out that list just because, like, it's ridiculous that this guy is 44 years old.
Crazy.
And, like, he's doing this, like, he's got great weapons, I get it, but it's just, he's not just doing this, he seems unstoppable when
he looks
doing
better than
this.
Ever.
It's just like, it's unbelievable. And it's just like buckets. Like you're big on this kind of stuff. Like the guys like that are on the field, like on his team and on the other team, like understand like how ridiculous this is. Like this is like the reaction on some of these guys' faces as they're getting like torched. And then the receivers are just like running back, like, you know, laughing in their head. And it's like a combination of laughing in their head, like excited for their team success, and it's like also like, you know, this is just like robots. I don't know, it's crazy. It's just like, you know, robots designed to kill on the football field. That's it's incredible to watch.
Dude, it's like if Michael Jordan at like 45 was just putting up like 37-9-9 every night, and you're like, what?
Thank you for saying that, Harry, because like I can't describe, like, there is an aura thing with Tom Brady when he's out there where everybody has like a collective what the fuck, and he's just throwing darts, man. It's crazy.
Like the arm looks better than ever. You know what, this I wanted to ask you guys this before in our group chat, but I never got around to it, so this is a perfect segue into that. We talked about Herbert. We just hit Brady. Who are your – who throws the prettiest, like, ball straight up to you? Like, who's, like, your top – I don't know, however many you can go. Like, I would go – because to me, Brady, everybody else, they're all great. But speaking of Herbert, like, to me, he might throw, like, the most beautiful football in the league, in my opinion.
I think Russell Wilson is up there, too.
Oh, for sure.
That
moon balls he throws?
Yeah, the moon balls.
I'm a big fan. Those things fall with so much, like.
Dude, his first one to Tyler Lockett today was it just, like, he didn't even have to look at the ball. It was just dropped in a bucket.
Yeah, I would go Russ probably with that question.
My answer, because I don't want to be cliche and say, like, you know, one of the top quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford has, like, ooh, a textbook throwing motion. Ooh. No, fuck it. You're associating. That's not what Harry asked. You're associating, like, consistency and a history of losing with Matthew. He's just talking about, like, pure, like,
mechanical. Yeah.
So you took Herbert and you took Russell, you know. If I'm not going to take Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, like, I'm gonna go with
the real answer is Aaron Rodgers. Like, let's be honest. Like, it's he just goes whoop, and it's just a fucking insane, like, rope.
I'm not going to lie. I thought you were going to say Jalen Hurts for a second here.
You mean Russell Wilson 2.0.
I'm holding out hope for 0-2 tomorrow for the Packers.
Let's go.
I mean, if Jared Goff goes into Lambeau and wins that game, he deserves a statue.
Can I be honest? I'm rooting for Jared Goff more than any other player in the league right now. I think that guy's legitimately just a fucking – he's hilarious for all, like, the wrong reasons. Like, I just – I love him, man.
It's going to be a train wreck, but we're going to watch it. This is you know, it's tough because this is called the Brainstorming Basketball Podcast.
And what happened? You said you were out on football, like, multiple times. You said you were retired. I would like Armand's listeners to know that Armand was like, I'm never watching football again. I don't care about it.
I swear. Okay. I'm not joking. I tried to pick up new hobbies, and it's just like, the NFL is a drug, man. It is.
I have the perfect analogy for this, if you guys are ready.
Go ahead.
Armand loving the NFL. And then, and this is to bring it back to basketball for our brainstorming basketball loyalists, our loyal listeners, who understand Armand intimately and understand what I'm about to say here. Armand abandoning the NFL after loving the NFL, a professed love. Armand, you told me that your favorite sport was the NFL over the NBA less than 2 years ago when we were at Medill. And you were adamant. And I was like, I don't see it, Armand. I don't see it. Like, I know how much you love the NBA. Like, you know, you're not even getting into the NFL until week one, but you insisted that the NFL is number one. And I saw some of that passion, you know, with the Bears. You know, you are one of the most passionate fans I've seen watching your team. But you giving up on the NFL and then bouncing back like nothing ever happened was like you saying that Kobe White was the next Stephen Curry and Damian Lillard. Giving up on that after.
Oh, shit.
Play for Billy Donovan, you know, a few months, a few bad games. It's like, kick this guy to the curb. And now you're back, or at least you profess to say so.
I realize.
People want answers, Armand. The people want answers. First Kobe White, now the NFL. Like, what's the deal, buddy?
I realized a couple things is that. I didn't hate the NFL. I hate the Chicago Bears. I really do. I don't enjoy watching them play football at all. Like, they're the most boring team. But the, like, red zone, I'm like, you know, it's like a drug. It's
red incredible. Zone is so good. What can we have an NBA like equivalent of red zone? Is this possible? Like, do you know what I mean?
We
like just they kind of try to do that. They try to do this on NBA TV. It's called crunch time, but it's just it's not the same because not like
the, same.
The NFL is, you know, once a week, and you know there are fewer games, and everybody is sitting down to watch the NFL. The crunch time thing, it's actually like pretty cool. Like, you know, it's like, you know, they go when it's like it happens on Wednesdays. You know, when you have like a night with a lot of games, like it'll go to the ones that are like in crunch time, right? Like the ones that are winding down to the close, and you know,
yeah,
it's pretty interesting when a NBA bite is laggy, but I mean, when NBA season pass isn't working, or league pass, whatever, isn't working. But, you know, it's good, but it can't copy the effect of the NFL. The NFL is just so big.
Red Zone is the greatest, like, sport TV product that I think has ever been created. I don't even think it's close.
I couldn't agree more. Red Zone is...
I have it second to NBC Sports Chicago.
Okay. I do have a question regarding Chicago sports for you guys. This is something that's been on my mind. NBA
related. Can I guess it? Can I guess it?
Go ahead.
Is it about this stuff, these rumors, these inklings that the Chicago Bulls might disappoint?
It is not. That's not okay. Even a rumor at this point. That's verified. but no, the question I have to ask, and I have a couple players in mind with this question, is Joakim Noah worthy of having his jersey retired by the Bulls?
Yeah, absolutely.
Harry goes yes. Joseph, did you say yes? I couldn't.
I said unequivocally. I bet you were going to say something like, is he a Hall of Famer? No, jersey retired, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
Nick Collison has his jersey retired.
Wow, I didn't even know that. That means Udonis is going up there too.
No, easy. It might be already.
Yeah. But Udonis, okay. Udonis is a legend, bro.
So I thought there might be some pushback with this. Okay, what about a guy like Boogie Cousins in Sacramento?
No.
Yeah, that one probably not. Just because of the way
it's not going to happen. This is actually a fun game. Keep going, Buggers.
Yeah, I like this.
Like, will this guy get his jersey retired?
So no chance with Boogie. What if they had made a 7 seed 1 year?
Doesn't
Monte Ellis.
No, come on.
Which team?
No.
Are you thinking Warriors or Bucks?
Okay, Golden State, I feel like it's a yes. What if it's like Dallas or something? I don't even know.
The Bucks is the other one. Won a championship, so they lifted their standards. They have also, first of all, Drew Holiday is gonna get his number up in the Raptors.
He's
on that championship team. I feel like if you stay and you win a championship and then you make another a bunch of deep runs. Think about the Pistons, man. Like Chauncey, I think all five of those starters are
slim pickings.
Slim pickings, what do you mean?
Like, I feel like you get to some of these teams, like, they just don't have that many, like, great players in their history.
But the Pistons are like a middle of the, like, they've got like their Dave Bings and they've got their
Isaiah Thomas, blah, blah, blah.
Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars. Like, yeah. So, I mean, a little bit slim pickings, but Monte Ellis, I think he wore 8 or 11 in the Bucks. I think Drew Holiday has 11, too, so you can't put them both up. Oh, no, you're right. He wore 11 for the Warriors, 8 for the Bucks.
I think it was 8 for the Bucks.
11 to the Mavs.
He's
one of those guys who put his contract on his jersey. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Did he really?
Like, he had an $8 billion contract for the 8 and the 11 for the 11. Yeah.
That's so Monte, dude.
That is. Okay, well, the next one I had was Chris Paul on any of his teams.
Yeah, dude, he has to. Oh fuck! Actually, would it be for the Pelicans? Because he's a.
I think he was a Hornet. Yeah, it would be the Pelicans.
It would be the Pelicans.
But
that makes it weird. Well,
think about this, Buck. It's like Kevin Durant doesn't have his jersey number retired in Oklahoma City. Like some teams are weird about this. Like the Dwight Howard doesn't have his jersey retired. For the Magic.
But they'll probably do those later, right? Like I feel like when those guys retire, they'll probably end up doing it.
Would you say, Buck?
I think those two – maybe not Dwight. I think KD will get it eventually.
Harry, to your point, though
– I do.
To your point, some of these guys, even if it's not officially retired, they hold off that number. Kevin Durant, multiple people have worn the number 35, while he's there. So, it is possible to, for instance, Gilbert Arenas, people can't wear his number. There are numbers on the Mavericks, you couldn't wear because of, they're holding, Michael Jordan, no one's worn 23 in D.C. since he retired. Like, there are these, retired numbers, and then there are these shadow retired numbers that they're technically available, but they're not. I don't know. It's like a low key thing. But
Blake Griffin on the Clippers.
I actually could see that.
Yeah.
And so I guess if he gets it, then Chris is going to get it too.
Well, I don't know. That would be a big F you to Chris Paul. Could you imagine?
Can I give you one, Buckets?
Yeah, go ahead.
Zach LaVine on the Bulls.
Yeah, I think he will. I really do.
No shot, dude. No fuck shot, dude. Oh, man.
We're gonna be excited.
I have one. Okay. Can Kyrie get his jersey retired twice in his career? Is it possible?
Yes.
I think so. I think that Kyrie, like, you know, Sexton's wearing number 2 right now, but like,
oh yeah.
I think that they're going to have to come to terms. Like, you're Cleveland. You hadn't won in 50 years. Like, that's a little disrespectful to retire the guy out in the finals. So, like, you know, there have been times where, like, people worthy of getting a jersey retired, you know, a few people wear the number, and then they come around to reconcile. But it is still weird that Durant wasn't instantly retired.
Yeah, the Durant one that's kind of suspect.
John Wall has to, right? It's a must.
Has to, come on.
It's a must. It's not even a question.
You talk about slim pickings, dude. The Wizards. Yeah. If you're not going to retire John Wall's number, what are you going to retire, dude?
You don't like Wes Unseld? I feel like Wes Unseld just took a stray there, Harry. That was.
No, I wasn't a fan of his play style. That's all it was for me.
You didn't like the outlet passing?
I'm not a huge Kevin Love guy now.
I think that John Wall, it's like an 80%. Because, like you're saying, slim pickings, that's a factor. But I don't know. Like, don't – it depends. Because he did resonate with the fan base. I think that, you know, there's a high percentage. But I could see, you know, maybe because of the way that it ended, maybe he doesn't get it, or maybe it takes some time for them to retire it.
I'm gonna throw a wrench in this one, all right? The current Orlando Magic minus Jalen Suggs, who has the greatest chance of having their jersey retired by the Magic? I just want to hear somebody say Wendell.
Fultz?
Who is it? I mean, yeah, who would you say?
Mo Bamba?
Isaac?
Wow. Just because of the song? I think it's Isaac.
The boring answer is probably Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, in, you know, the reason why I thought of this was because of the Grizzlies a few weeks back announcing that they're retiring Zebo and Tony Allen, which Tony basically Allen, yeah. They're going to retire the whole grit and grind. Yeah. And it's like, all right, if we're going to do that, then.
Did you guys really enjoy watching those teams? Everybody's like, dude, I miss grit and grind. Like, really, you missed 79 to fucking 83 final score games?
I will say one thing about grit and grind. One of the best quotes of all time was when Tony Allen was mic'd up against the Warriors, and he kept saying, first team all defense.
Yes, sir.
First team. That was one of the greatest moments. I didn't.
Those were their greatest moments. They're all off the court.
Yeah. I didn't particularly enjoy them. I wish they never traded Rudy Gay. I'm going
to
be honest.
I have a funny story about this. So I went to a Wizards game. It might have been in the best year of the grit and grind era, and I was either going to go to the Grizzlies or the Warriors, who weren't yet the Warriors. They're young and intriguing, but they weren't like, you know, the mainstream everybody knows. So it's like they were kind of like, even though the Grizzlies were really good, they were kind of like two low-key type teams or whatever. And I went to the Grizzlies game. I picked the Grizzlies over the Warriors. They were a little cheaper. And they benched, like, all their players. They were playing, like, Darnell Stokes. And I think Jordan Adams might have been on that squad, too.
Wow.
You know, Marcin Gortat was on the Wiz in those days.
Oh, the Polish hammer, dude.
Oh, my God. It was over. I mean, it was a lot of bench players. And the Grizz lost by 20.
No Hamid Haddadi.
Is it Hamed or Hamid?
I'm pretty sure the Farsi way to say it is Hamid. That's my uncle's name. Shout out Uncle Hamid.
Hamid Adadi. Yeah, I don't know if he was on that squad.
That guy, yeah. I mean, FIBA legend Hamid Haddadi. I got one more for you guys. Can I
answer that Grizzlies question? Because I didn't really give an answer. Like, I historically with the NBA, I like to root for the underdogs. So I remember rooting for the Grizzlies like in a series against the Thunder where they fell short.
That was
short.
An awesome series.
Yes.
That Kevin Durant 4-point play was like, yes. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was rooting for the Grizzlies there. I like to root for the underdogs. So the fact that I wish they had given the Spurs more of a push in that Western Conference Finals. Like that's, I think that's kind of like what puts the bad taste in my mouth, at least, to where it's like, dude, I mean, like you get the Western Conference Finals, you've got these players. I mean, the Spurs just ran all over you. So
all right, so per usual, Zoom decided to kick us out. We were ending up on the grit and grind Grizzlies. As I was making a new Zoom meeting, Yost brought up the point that the Clippers just made a new arena. It's big news, obviously, in Los Angeles. It's going to be a state-of-the-art facility. And it's just got me thinking, you guys, what is the chances, right? Like percentage-wise, let's say in 25 years, LA is more predominantly Clippers than Lakers. Yost, what do you think?
I think it's destined to happen. I think that it's been trending this way for some time, and I think that the Clippers will overtake the Lakers as the most popular team in LA. There's a 0% chance. There's a 0% chance. The Lakers are the biggest phenomenon in the NBA. I used to work for the Bulls, and like I was a press attendant for the Bulls. I used to like, you know, transcribe quotes or whatnot. So like I would like it would be interesting to me to see the different vibes, the different dynamics of the teams and who's covering them. The Lakers are fucking rock stars, man. Like the media, like you can't get anywhere in the scrum. It's impossible. Like it's just different. Like the Lakers are the NBA. They're the face of the NBA. There's no chance the Clippers. The news is disappointing to me in the sense that I wanted to see a team go back to Seattle and like reawaken that market, but that's not going to happen anytime soon, I don't think, unless there's expansion. But yeah, man, there's no chance. Harry?
Dude, I think I mean, yeah, the Lakers are the Lakers. I'm trying to think of other cities that have two of the same sport.
Knicks and Nets.
Yeah, Knicks, Nets. But there's also in New York, I feel like more – because, like, the Nets would never, ever, ever catch up to the Knicks. Like, it's no just way. Not
– And I see happen. The Lakers as the same thing.
Yeah, aren't there – there's, like – well, there's the – oh, there's the Mets and the Yankees. There's a lot of Mets fans. What's the history of that, though? You know, did they start at the same time?
Here's the Clippers argument as we pull that up. Dude, they every single like park in LA, Ballmer has put the Clippers propaganda everywhere. Like everywhere. And it's just like I don't think that they're gonna
shit doesn't work, man. Like I posters. Mean,
there is a chance that the Lakers are still poorly run and it's literally LeBron saved them. Like what happens if LeBron leaves and then 10 years go by and they're just like,
but the Clippers are in the same situation.
Did you see the Kawhi sweatshirt?
What did it say?
Clip gang or don't bang. I couldn't be more in, man. They're
that's
all
so corny, dude. That's so fucking lame.
Freaking the
that's
rookies.
The corniest thing I've ever heard.
Jason Preston and I think Boston. Yeah, they were both, I think, at the like they're building a culture down there.
Clip gang or don't bang bang what? What are we don't bang?
Blame
is not good copy straight up. I mean, I'm gonna be honest.
That sounds like a slogan for a team that's gonna finish fourth in the Western Conference and lose to the Lakers in the second round.
That's you know, that's not a bad finish for our Clips, I don't think.
Especially if Kawhi doesn't play at all.
That's a terrible
finish. If Kawhi doesn't
play all their assets.
Yeah, no, okay. From that sense, yeah, it's a disaster, but Kawhi's already out. So I mean it'd be a feel-good story if they could make the four seed, you know. I mean, they've still got some good players, and they've got really good depth. It's just
– is Kawhi for sure out the whole season? Is that a
– There's no way he can't be, man. It's like, basically
– How long has it been?
I mean, it happened in June, right?
Yeah.
So you're telling me, like – go ahead.
Steve Ballmer was hinting that he thinks that he'll be back at the end of the season. But, you know –
It's Kawhi, though. Yeah. Kawhi has been the most conservative, protective of his body athlete that we've seen, like, probably in NBA history.
That's true. I could see it being a – I could see it being like a Clay thing where like the whole year.
Exactly.
He's going to come back. And then finally it was like, no, he's not coming back.
If he doesn't come back, it's going to be – you know, it's not going to be shocking to me if they don't even make the play-in tournament. That team could be a team that completely overachieved due to just pure momentum. I hope not, because I like what they had going on with Reggie and PG and Terrence Mann. What do you guys think, like, of this Clipper team if there is no Kawhi?
Yeah, like you said, I think they're fun to watch. They're a league pass team for sure.
They're so dependent on Paul George though for offense. I mean, we'll see how the new additions like manifest themselves. I think Mann would have to take on. I think they'd still be competitive, but you know, if something happened to Paul George, then all of a sudden now you're stressed at a bunch of different positions. But I think that Mann is interesting to watch to see if he takes a step up. You know, they brought back Reggie Jackson, and I mean, Reggie Jackson in the playoffs was not very much at all like the player that he resembled in, you know, the rest of his career. So it's a little bit – you wonder if it's just a nice hot streak or whatever. But the thing that makes me think it could be real is just that the shooting. The shooting is something that was never really a factor, you know, early in his career with the Thunder and the Pistons. But if he's going to be that kind of a shooter I don't know. And now he's got the confidence that he did it in the playoffs. I guess injury, you know, can derail anyone. It can happen to anyone, you know, and if he gets another injury, then, you know, that had been an issue in the past with him, injury concerns. So I don't know. I think the 4-5-6 range, when we did the podcast, our second favorite team or the second team that we think is going to finish in the West, I think I had the Warriors. And I think the Nuggets I'd add to that group too, in terms of, and then maybe the Suns.
Is Teodosic still on the team, or has he died of lung cancer yet?
Oh, God.
The Clippers, he's long gone.
Yeah, oh, my God. I love Teodosic, dude. Oh, my God. That was from the top rope. wow.
I was a Teodosic truther.
Oh, my God.
He looks like he smokes, like, 300 American Spirits every day, dude.
Yeah, wow. We miss you, Milos. Speaking of good ball handling and passing, there is video circulating of Michael Porter Jr. working on his handles and a lot of quote tweets about how stiff he is and how he basically looks like he can't move, but it doesn't matter because he can just shoot over everybody. What are your thoughts on Joseph on MPJ this upcoming season? What should we be expecting from him?
I'm wondering with him, like, what contract he's going to get, because he's in that 2018 class. You know, we've already seen that Shea got a max, Trey got a max, and Luka got a max. I mean, is this a $100 million player, 120? Like, you know, what's he going to garner there based on his injury history, but also the flashes of potential he showed? As far as the shooting, the size and the shooting are elite. Like, you just don't have players like that who can, you know, just quick trigger, get a shot over anybody. He crashes the offensive glass like a madman. Defensively, he's out of position at times, and he's a little stiff. But, I mean, if you have size, you have utility on a basketball court. Like, you know, and you somewhat – like, I guess because Jokic is the center, you wonder, like, can you build a defense, an above-average defense with Jokic, Porter, and then Murray? But – yeah, he's super talented. I think he's going to make all-star teams. I think he has that in his future. Maybe not like an every year all-star, but, you know, two or three all-star games over the course of his career. I'm a sucker for his talent. I've been a Michael Porter fan for a long time.
What about you, Harry?
I hate him. But I hate him because the Knicks really should have taken him.
The Sixers should have taken him.
The Bulls should have taken him.
I have a tweet Kevin from back Knox in 2018. Please take MPJ here. We took Mikal Bridges, and then we traded him for Zaire Smith, who's like He wouldn't crack the top 80 in that draft class.
Whoa. Don't spoil the redraft.
I was in the building for that draft, by the way. Like, I was there, like, in Brooklyn. Dude, everybody wanted MPJ, dude. Like, every single person. Like, didn't matter. Knicks fan, Nets fan, you know, Chicago. Like, everybody wanted Michael Porter Jr.
I wanted you guys to take Kevin Knox, personally. I thought I was a Kevin Knox truther, man. I really was.
I thought it was a decent pick in the moment. I was like, it's not bad.
I can't.
And then he went to have that summer league, man. I mean, Kevin Knox is the guy who, like, you know how they do the dimensions? Like, you know, this guy has the same dimensions as Joel Embiid or, you know, whoever. Like, I guess I do kind of look at some of that stuff. But, like, you know, the Kevin Knox, Jason Tatum one, I think that got a lot of people. Like, you know, the guy has the same dimensions as, like.
What a time to be alive, man. I miss those days.
What a time to be alive. I have hope for him, but I like. Can he have, like, you know, maybe a year where he can be, like, a decent 9th, 10th man on a
Why does he
game?
Just keep hitting the side of the backboard? Like, it's not that hard to at least get the ball close enough. He has more side of the backboard ricochets. I guarantee you he leads the stat in the league. Like, he is so – every single time he shoots the ball, it does not hit the rim. It's a ridiculous experience watching Kevin Knox play basketball.
I thought you were going to say more side of the backboards than anybody because one of our loyal listeners, Tim Colbert, he leads the world in that category. Actually, shout out Tim. I know Tim's made it this far for sure.
Who's Tim Colbert?
You guys, is there anything else? The NBA has been so bland and dry. Is there anything else that you guys are curious about? You know, season's 30 days away, so we're right around the corner here. Yos, is there anything that's piquing your NBA interest?
I mean, Buck, it's for me, like, the NBA season, it's good to see, you know, the stars that first week or two. You know, the Christmas game is fun, but because it's become kind of so load managed at this stage, like, I really like watching the young teams, man. Like, I'm gonna, you know, learn and experience the playoff teams in the playoffs. Like, that's when we're going to see, you know, the Giannis and Antetokounmpos and the Chris Paul, Devin Booker, you know, make their run. Like, in the regular season, you know, aside from a few matchups here and there, and there's going to be, you know, the second TNT game, which goes crazy, and you can't anticipate that just because, you know, the star power is so electric in the NBA. But, like, I'm curious to see how good Cade Cunningham's going to be right away. I'm curious to see, you know, how bad the Rockets are and, you know, what impact Jalen Green can have on that team. You know, LaMelo Ball, can he lead the Hornets to the playoffs? Like, Anthony Edwards, can he and Kat, like, can they form a decent defense and make a playoff run in the West? Like, how those young guys kind of level up is kind of what I like to track, you know. I guess what people call their league pass teams, right? You know, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to.
What about you, Harry?
I just want to know where Milos Teodosic is.
Oh, my God.
Did you look it up? I'll Google it.
No, I didn't.
Teodosic. He plays for Virtus Bologna in the Italian Liga Basket Serie.
Bologna's not actually in their name. There's no way.
It is. No, dude, you clearly have no knowledge or anything of the EuroLeague and the EuroCup. They have ridiculous names. They've got, like, weird sponsors in them. Yeah, it's definitely Virtus Bologna.
That's amazing.
But it's in Italy, though. So that could be the name of the city for all I know. I don't know much more. But, yeah, he's out there in Italy. So Milos Teodosic. I mean, Buckets, like, what would your answer be to that question? I mean, I guess now that I'm thinking about it more, the Hawks, the Warriors are going to be fun. It's just the NBA. Like, you like everybody. Like,
we like everybody on this pod. And one of the ones that you
mentioned. The Bulls, man.
No. I'm not going to go there yet.
I like everybody, Buckets. I'm interested in everybody but the Sixers. I'm prepared for a disaster this year.
Oh, me too.
A disaster mired with trade rumors and injuries and dysfunction and chaos, and I'm kind of dreading it, but, you know, I'll enjoy watching the other teams. Just don't have high hopes for the Sixers.
I'm excited for the team that you mentioned. I might have already said this on the pod, but the Anthony Edwards cat duo, combined with the fact that this week we had, I think it was Patrick Beverley, said something to the effect of, I've made the playoffs every year of my career and it's not stopping now.
That JJ Redick said the same thing, by the way, when he was on the Pelicans.
Oh, wow.
He's not a dog like Pat Bev, I guess, yeah. But like he did say the same thing.
I love when guys that have no influence on that say that shit. It's like, yeah. You're not LeBron, you're not fucking, like you have like a 1% equity in whether or not you make it to the playoffs.
Honestly, the better approach for them here would be to go to the Mega Millions right after, because as opposed to saying like, oh, I'm making the playoffs next year because I've made it every year of my career. It's just, you know, super lucky. Like,
exactly.
So many players get mired on terrible teams. I mean, think about, you were talking about Boogie Cousins earlier. Fuck it. You had the worst luck that you could have being on a complete dysfunctional team for all those years. And getting traded, starting to shine with the Pelicans. And then, you know, I think, was that an ACL or an Achilles? I think that was the Achilles.
It was both, dude. I feel so bad for that guy.
No, the ACL happened when he was on the Lakers. He got signed by the Lakers. He never even got to play for them because of the ACL. Yeah, that's when we saw him.
His quad on the Warriors.
The quad in the playoffs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's terrible. So good for JJ and Pat Bev. But all good things must come to an end.
Wow. You know what? I didn't want to end it on a somber note, but are you both out on the Wolves making the playoffs?
No. I'm sorry. I believe.
Okay. There we go.
Mostly, they're going to make the play-in buckets. They're going to make the plan.
Is Anthony Edwards collectively our favorite NBA player?
I mean, no, because I'm a LaMelo ball.
I'm a LaMelo.
No, yeah. Dude, I love Anthony Edwards, dude.
Love Anthony Edwards too.
As a person, like, man.
Oh my God, he's the funniest. He's okay, from so that aspect, funny. Yes. He's electric.
He is. Yeah, he's the funniest dude in the league.
He's the funniest. Yeah, exactly. No question.
Anything?
Have you guys seen the rumors that he's Michael Jordan's son?
Yes.
I actually haven't seen this.
Dude, look this shit up. It's so funny.
I'll look right now.
No.
I'll look it up. I have a prediction for you, Buckets. I have a prediction for you. This is going to be the last thing I say. People have been talking. Like, what do we think is going to happen with the Ben Simmons situation? People have been talking, and I may have said this to you guys already. But
going to Virtus Bologna, dude.
No, he's not going to Virtus. I think that Daryl is pushing very hard for Dame. But when push comes to shove, if this thing gets ugly, you know, a week or two before the season, I think he's going to settle for a CJ package. And CJ is going to start the season with the Philadelphia 76ers. That's where this is heading. So, like, you know, acting like, you know, we're going all in for Dame offer. It's like, we'll take CJ, and Portland's going to be tempted to do it, and it's going to happen. And then we're going to have CJ McCollum and Seth Curry in the backcourt giving up 140 points a game.
That's score. I like that, except it's going to be CJ McCollum and John Wall. And it's going to be 145.
Oh my God.
Peace out, Ubers.
I can't wait to watch the NBA.